And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vacensade, written by Paul Wright. Vacensade is brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now, here's Zella Lane. Hey, Zella, what are you smacking your lips about? Something good to eat, I bet you.
Reading my mind, huh? Well, you're not wrong, but you'll never in the wide world guess what it is. Really, friends, it's a dandy recipe, one the Crisco people sent along. Now you know how long you have a package of noodles in your pantry. And like me, you probably look at them a dozen times and wish you knew something a little different to do with them. Well, see if this doesn't strike your fancy. It's a Crisco recipe for cheese-flavored fried noodles. You boil and drain the noodles, then with Crisco piping hot in your skillet, you put them in to fry. Let them get good and brown and crispy. Can't you almost smell them? And when the noodles are really crusty, you drain, salt, and sprinkle them with finely grated sharp cheese. Say, that'll make a hit with your family. You just try it, and you better plan to make plenty. You know the appetites youngsters bring home. Golly, aren't you thankful you don't have to worry about Crisco fried foods being hard to digest? There's no reason to worry with Crisco in your skillet. In fact, Crisco fried foods are so digestible, I even let the youngsters pitch right in. You see, Crisco's pure and all vegetable, a digestible shortening. 9 out of 10 doctors say that. Really, it's the finest quality shortening for everything. You'll see, with Crisco, everything you cook tastes better, and it's digestible. And friends, on your ration stamps, don't forget to use up brown stamps Y and Z. They're good through March 20th. And now, back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, Mr. Victor Gook has just arrived home from his day's work at the office as we join him at the small house halfway up on the next block now. He's standing beside the library table in the living room, removing his hat and overcoat, and speaking cheerily to Sade, who's darning socks on the davenport. Listen.
Do I look like a pretty girl 17 years old?
No.
Do I look like a pretty girl 26 years old? Refuse to give a poor fellow any compliments, huh?
What you feeling so good about?
Wouldn't you feel good if you were wealthy, talented, popular, and good-looking?
Yes, I sure would. You didn't get a raise in your pay, did you?
Why, what an absurd fancy. Here, take my coat and hat in the hallway and hang them up.
Ha-ha.
Well, I'll break them over this chair for a moment. Darling little Russell can take him in the hallway.
I have no idea where darling little Russell is.
Out in the backyard.
Oh.
Exchanging insults with Heidi Cole.
Yeah, I guess I did hear a kid yelling a minute ago.
Gee, I wish you'd tell me I resemble a pretty girl 26 years old.
Oh, yes.
Pretty girl 28 years old?
Oh, goodness. Tell me what it is you got up your sleeve. You will sooner or later. Silliness is funny and all right, but why so?
You won't permit a fella to have any fun.
No, I guess not. Oh, this must be Russell. Hi, dear.
Hi.
In the kitchen, are they?
Hello,
Bob. Hello, girlies. Ain't that sweet? He gets more grown up every day. He says, hello, girl, just as clear.
Has this dandy news you're hugging to yourself got anything to do with your eating supper downtown this evening?
Sadie. You're incorrigible.
Grocery store for you pretty quick, Mr. Mann.
Okay.
We're having supper by ourselves tonight, you and me.
Eating downtown, are you, go?
How dare you ask me a question like that? You're impertinent, sir. Take my hat and overcoat in the hallway and hang them up.
Anymore, it's getting to where nobody would even consider hanging up their own hat and overcoat.
Isn't he a wicked boy to talk to his parents that way?
Yeah.
I read in the newspaper about a case in Indiana where a boy...
I think we've had enough for you, Russell.
Okay.
I don't like to crush his baby heart and make him feel so bad that he'll sob and cry. But at the same time, I feel I should be more strict and insist on opinions.
Oh, Vic, you rattle on and on about nothing. What is it you got up your sleeve? When you telephoned this afternoon, you said you wouldn't be eating at home tonight. I suppose Mr. Buller was in town.
Mr. Buller is not in town.
Wanted to talk business.
Mr. Buller is not in town.
Had invited you to supper at the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shopping.
No.
Oh, just like that brother-in-law, Miss Froucher's there on Mulberry Street she complains about. He's got to be funny man's all the time. Not just part of the time, but all the time. Putting lighted matches in the soles of people's shoes, coming up behind you and screaming, telling jokes, singing comical songs. Miss Froucher says an evening of it's enough to drive a person stark raving mad. And her and Mr. Froucher eat Sunday dinner there every other Sunday.
Surely my humor is more subtle, rarefied, and piquant than that.
Not much, no.
Hello, Ritter.
Hello, boss.
You hung my hat and overcoat neatly in the hallway?
Yeah.
Good work. You may step to the pantry and help yourself to a level teaspoonful of powdered
sugar. Oh, come on. I'll get down to business. Where are you having supper this evening?
That is a fair question and deserves an honest answer. I am dining at the Butler House Hotel.
Oh?
I am Fancy Vic Gook, the fashionable fop from Freeport, Florida.
Are them important kitchenware fellas from Plant 26 or whatever it is back in town and you're supposed to entertain them?
Nope.
Oh, now don't start that laughing silliness.
I can't help it, Dr. Sleep.
Oh, my.
Bluetooth Johnson sometimes gets the...
Coffee star for you, Mr. Blister. We're eating by ourselves. What would taste good?
I always enjoy macaroni and cheese.
So, here's the story. I laughed and acted asinine because this really amounts to a little joke on you.
Joke on me? Joke on me?
Yes.
Well, let's hear the joke that's on me.
Bluetooth Johnson gets a great...
Quiet, Russell. Shout out the joke that's on me.
Well, kiddo, I'm not the kind that makes the other fella eat crow, and I'm not the kind that rubs a thing in. But could you guess who's my host at the Butler House Hotel at supper this evening?
No, who?
Hank Gutstuff.
He's buying you a meal?
He's more than buying me a meal. He's my host.
And this is a joke on me?
In a way, yes.
I know a good joke on you, Russell.
What's that?
The Mississippi River goes past Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a dandy joke on me.
No, kiddo, listen. Hank Gutstuff got the job of house detective in at the hotel there. About 2 weeks ago,
I'm familiar with all that. He was here one evening wearing his duck hunter's cap and checkered vest.
No, but listen.
Well, where does the joke on me come in?
Well, listen and I'll tell you.
All right.
For many years, you've held up Hank as an object of derision.
Well, that's what he was.
You thought of him as a thing of shreds and patches, and you pictured him as a no-good loafer asleep on railroad station platforms.
Sure, that's right. Mm-hmm.
A pool room tout, a barbershop lounger, a creature crude, coarse, and contemptible.
Exactly, sure. Mm-hmm.
In the light of all that, how do you feel about Hank being host to five of his friends at a private, stylish supper at one of the finest hotels in central Illinois?
Well, I suppose if he's flush with money, he's got as much right as anybody else to buy a meal.
Wait a minute. Kiddo, does it seem in character for a no-good bum to put on a luxurious, smart, and sophisticated banquet for five...
Oh, Peach got her in talky-talk. Anybody with the spondulics can walk in the purple room there and order a luxurious, smart, and sophisticated...
Did I say purple room?
He isn't putting on a luxurious, smart, and sophisticated banquet at the dinky little coffee shop off the lobby there where you eat off the arm of the chair and...
Sadie, what an odd notion.
Well, is he?
No. Kiddo, Hank Gutstuff is entertaining five of his friends in his own apartment.
At the Bright Kentucky Hotel?
No, Russell. Not at the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
That's where he lives?
No, Russell.
Has he moved?
Yes, Justin.
Where to?
The Butler House Hotel.
Really?
The Butler House Hotel. Hank Gutstuff has apartments at the Butler House Hotel. And get this, friend. The Brighter Suite, no less.
The Brighter Suite.
Well, for mercy.
For mercy sakes is right.
The Bridal Suite.
Here's the details of it, Sage.
Yes, have the details of it.
As detective at the Butler House, the management felt that Hank should reside there. You see, he's supposed to be on call at all hours of the day or night. So at the management's expense, Hank's effects were transferred from the Bright Kentucky to the Butler House. Isn't that going up in the world?
How did he rate the Bridal Suite?
The management quartered him there because it's so large and expensive it's too infrequently patronized. They have to have too much money, see? Most young married couples that stop at the Butler House don't feel like they can afford the price. So instead of letting it go to waste, the management has installed Hank.
Does he have to pay any rent?
Not a penny.
Good.
I had a little notion you'd be mildly surprised, Sage.
Uh-huh.
You'll eat your supper in the bridal suite this evening, huh, Gov?
I'll eat my supper in the bridal suite this evening.
Waiters, I expect, will bring it up.
The head waiter will look in first.
He'll have a bill of fare menu.
Exactly. And he'll take our order.
and then a whole bunch of waiters will wheel in little go-carts piled with rich food and silver platters.
A whole bunch of waiters will wheel in little go-carts piled with rich food and silver platters.
Who beside you is attending the banquet?
A group of Hank's old comrades from the Bright Kentucky.
Huh?
Hank is not proud. Brilliant success hasn't turned Hank's head. The dear old chums he knew in lean times are welcome as his ritually appointed bower.
Stacy Yop, I suppose, and B.B. Ball.
Stacy Yop, B.B. Ball, Y.I.I.Y. Skeever, Fishigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan, and even the old battered janitor and man of all work there at the Bright Kentucky.
Pelter Unbree.
Yes, Pelter Unbree. He, too, will be there, poor soul.
Oh.
So there, Sade, you have the story of Hank Gutstop's meteoric rise in the world.
Oh.
From a thing of shreds and patches, from a no-good loafer sleeping on railroad station platforms, from a pool room tout, a barbershop lounger, and a creature crude, coarse, and contemptible, Hank Gutstop has become the occupant of the bridal suite of the Butler House, has become a host at gay, smart, sophisticated private banquets for his friends, is a living, breathing part of the elegance and splendor and glamorous flash and fire of one of the finest and most brilliant hotels in central Illinois.
Hey,
hey. Yes. Hey, hey.
What do you say, Russell?
I say hey, hey, too.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Friends, may I present a member of the Women's Army Corps, better known as a WAC.
Hello, everybody.
Well, now, let's see. You're a sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, friend, somehow, I think this is one sergeant I wouldn't mind taking orders from.
It must be the uniform.
Well, it's certainly a snappy one. There's no doubt about that. But tell me, Sergeant, how do you like being a WAC?
It's wonderful. I've had lots of fun. And I've been to more places than I ever thought I'd see. I'm kind of hoping I may take another trip soon.
Uh-huh. Overseas?
Yes, indeed.
Well, that ought to be really exciting. Well, now, about the work you do. Do you like that?
Love it. You know, now you can choose the type of job you want to do when you join the WAC.
Uh-huh. And there are lots of jobs to pick from.
And every one of them is important.
You bet everyone is, Sergeant. Believe me, friends, the Army needs WACs. If you're anywhere from 20 to 49 years old, the biggest thing that you can do for your country is join the WAC. Drop in at your nearest Army recruiting station today, won't you? And join the WAC. And don't forget to listen to Bacon Say the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible.